is the one you work for all your life right here.
For Bavaro, touchdown.
Under pressure, and he's sacked by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
10, 5, touchdown.
Welcome to Giants Chronicles. I'm Bob Papa here at the Giants Legacy Club in the New Meadowlands Stadium. Michael Strahan was drafted by the Giants in the second round of the 1993 draft out of Texas Southern. Strahan would embark upon a 15-year journey, eventually winning a championship with the Big Blue. I had a chance to visit with Michael to talk about his days as a member of the New York Giants. All right, so Michael, you're coming out of Texas Southern, and you find out you're going to the New York Giants. Did you have doubts as to whether you could even play in the NFL?
When I got the call from Dan Reed, I was thinking to myself, why do they need me? They have LT, and it's cold up there. I remember watching the Giants growing up and watching the smoke come out of their mouths when they're playing. I'm thinking, I don't want any part of that.
You're coming into the NFL. There's a draft, you know, all the big-time college players. You're coming from a small school. Mm-hmm. Did that create anxiety for you or a chip on your shoulder?
I think more of a chip on my shoulder. And I was told that when you go to the NFL, you're not Michael Strahan from Texas Southern. You're Michael Strahan, a football player. And if you weren't one of the best, you wouldn't be there. So that's the mindset I took. It didn't matter what school I had gone to or they had gone to. Once we get on the field, what we did out there is all that mattered.
All right, so you walk in, you come to rookie minicamp, and then you go to the veteran minicamp, and now all of a sudden, there's Phil Sims, there's Lawrence Taylor, you got big crazy Michael Brooks, you know, who was a new guy that had come in. I mean, there was a lot of veteran guys. Did they put you in your place right away?
You know, I was quiet. Contrary to how I am now, I was a mouse. I didn't want to be seen. I didn't want to be heard. I remember Phil Sims, I walk in the locker room and Phil said, hey, Michael. And I was, oh my God, Phil Sims just spoke to me. And then LT walked into the locker room, and all of us rookies, it was like he was walking on water. We all were in such amazement. Like, oh my, that's Lawrence Taylor. Don't stare, don't look. But you couldn't help yourself. And it was the most intimidating, but also exciting time that a young guy could ever have on any team. To see guys like that who are proven veterans come in and, for one, know your name, and for two, just lead by example and show you how to be a pro.
You know, you had Dan Reeves as the head coach, experienced guy. Mike Nolan, who's a talented defensive coordinator. You had Earl Leggett, defensive line coach. And they were starting to draft good, young defensive players, which would kind of lead to the 97 team that won the division. Did you get a sense that, hey, what they're building here, at least on my side of the ball, is pretty good?
Path for the Giants was defense. We were very much into trying to shut teams out, live up to the legacy of the Giant defense. And we had guys who were smart enough to realize that. And when you have a Harry Carson, a Lawrence Taylor, you know, Carl Banks, and you know all these guys who were just such great defensive players who held the legacy of this organization, that's what you're trying to uphold.
So the team has a great year, your rookie year, and then Sims and LT retire. It's a transition. The team suddenly starts getting young fast. What's going through your mind at this point as you're seeing veterans go out the door? And I'm assuming you're thinking after your first year, wow, I like this winning stuff in the NFL. This is pretty good. And then all of a sudden, it gets a little rough along the way.
Got a little rocky after the first year. You know, the first year for me, it was kind of a learning experience. I had an injury, so I sat out and I watched. And just to be around the guys, and we're winning, and things are just, you know, seemed easy. And this is what it's supposed to be. And then the next year, we lost a lot of guys, and I'm out there. They throw me out there right in and say, sink or swim. And we start losing, and it's not going so well. And I realized that, boy, you don't make the playoffs every year. You know, it's just not a given every year. We were that way last year because we had great players who worked really hard. Not that we didn't have great players, but you had guys like myself out there who just didn't have a lot of experience.
What about when they moved you to the other side?
I was angry. I mean, I was, you know, a right defensive end and moved me to left defensive end when they drafted Cedric Jones. And I was like, why are they moving me? And then I said to myself, well, in order to prove it to them, I'm going to bust my butt over here and show them I can play. And it ended up being the best thing that has ever happened to me. And I thank Dan Reeves. I thank Mike Nolan, Earl Leggett, for moving me, because without that move, I don't know what would have happened had I stayed on the right side, and the left defensive end position was just more natural for me.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Michael Strahan. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Michael Strahan. 97, 10-5-1, you win the NFC East. Did you get a sense that, hey, we're on the right path here finally?
Yeah. It felt like the young guys kind of understood what we were, We were all coming together. And felt like we looked and said, we're young. We can only go up from here. And that's a good feeling to have. And obviously it didn't happen too much after that or whatever. I don't know if we didn't know how to handle it or what. But, you know, to get on that winning side after not being on that side for a while made you realize all the hard work you were doing was finally paying off.
Takes the snap and drops back under pressure. Sacked by Strahan back at the 20. It's Michael's second of the ball game. Sack record. History books. Your name's right there. What did that mean for you to set that mark?
The league sack record was great. I mean, that's great. I mean, who doesn't want that? But the thing I'm most proud of is bringing LT to sack record.
First and 10, Eagles. McNabb back to throw. Steps up under pressure, and he's sacked by Michael Strahan. And there's the record, the New York Giants record, 133.5. And he does it with Lawrence Taylor in the house.
And so to pass something that he did made me feel great. But one thing that I pride myself in, and I tell people all the time, I don't miss rushing a passer. I don't miss that. I miss playing a run. That was my first love. I loved to play the run, and the pass was secondary. To be thought of as a great run defender means something, because you can get somebody who's fast who can just go and rush the passer, but it takes something different, some certain type of desire to play the run, especially when you're going against a guy who sometimes outweighs you by 100 pounds.
Pick sixes. You had a couple of those in your career.
Hey, hey, hey.
Is that cooler than getting a sack?
I wasn't known as a pick six machine, so I'll stick with the sacks.
But you had big ones.
But big ones, yeah. You know what? It happened at the right time. I've never, it's like yesterday, the plays are like yesterday in my head. And we're in that Washington game. I'm lined up over the tight end. I have to cover him. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe if I kind of duck down and just cut in front of him, he'll throw him the ball without seeing me. And lo and behold, it worked.
Crouching out, unloads left, and it's intercepted by Michael.
And then the other one against the Eagles, Christian Peter puts his big mitt up there, tips it. I see the ball coming, and all I remember is go get it at its highest point. And I'm running, and I'm just thinking to myself, if I let an offensive lineman catch me, I would never live this down. I might as well take off my pads right now, walk off the field and never come back.
Leadership. How much of a burden was that to not only be the leader in the locker room with your teammates, but you were the voice of this football team?
You're going to be tired, all that, man, all right? Get that out your mind. We got to go the entire game until the game is won right here in this group.
It was my job as part of not just being on the field, it was part of my job to be the voice, to be the guy who says this or to be the guy who says that.
This is what I was built for. I was built to play football. That's what my mentality is.
And if somebody else said something, it was my job to go out on the field and back them up.
Welcome home, baby.
But there was nothing, absolutely nothing I enjoy more or nothing I miss more is being on that field with the guys. And I got to look at a guy and make him believe, no matter what, that he is the best thing out there on that field, his position, that we are the best thing out there together.
Champions and winners believe they will win the game.
I'm not worthy. I am not worthy.
Nothing inspires me more than to lead people like that and make them believe something that, as some for most people, would be unbelievable.
How tough was it? You, there are some other strong leaders on this football team. Obviously, the team, after 02, 03 gets off to a bad start, you know, and the season just falls apart. Everybody seems to get hurt, and it just doesn't work. So now 2006 comes. I don't know, maybe my career is over. I had a great career. tough loss in the playoffs. Now you're really kicking around whether you're going to come back. Yeah. What was the final tipping point for you to say, we're going to give this another run here?
Well, you know, 2005 had a great year, which was great. I mean, went to the Pro Bowl with OC, which was like a dream come true after coming back off the foot injury. 2006, tore my pec halfway through the season. I sat there and realized I did not want to end my Giants career with a torn pec muscle, ending my career 8 games into my final season. And I did not want to leave the guys like that. I came back because I want to finish on a great note.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Michael Strahan. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Michael Strahan. Mike Nolan was a good young defensive coordinator. He played for John Fox, who was a great defensive coordinator. Steve Spagnuolo comes in, and you guys give up 80 points in the first 2 games. What did you know that we didn't know as to why this was going to eventually be good?
We gave up 80 points the first 2 weeks. He never panicked. He didn't come in and yell at anybody. He didn't do anything. Very rarely did he ever raise his voice. He simply said, trust the system. And you could feel he meant it. He didn't just say something to say it. He meant it. And from then on, we had the big stop in Washington, the 3rd game of the season, and we won that. And, you know, off to the races we went.
All right, so the season, though, starts to fall apart a little bit. That horrible home loss to the Redskins later in the year on that windy night. Then you go to Buffalo, and it's not going too well there. And then it started to rain, snow, sleet, with a wind 100 miles an hour. Yeah. Punter misses the ball. You guys capitalize. Jacobs runs one in. You clinch a playoff spot. Did you ever have more fun than beating the Dallas Cowboys in a playoff game
Absolutely
in Dallas?
Absolutely not.
And just tee off on a quarterback the way you guys did? Now, the sack numbers weren't through the roof, but the hits that he took that day.
The sacks were important, but, man, we just wanted to hit that quarterback, be the guy to hit him, and meet the other guy there at the point of impact. And in that Dallas game, I've never had a better victory in my life. And to win that game on an R.W. McCourty's interception in the end zone at the end of it was, I've never seen 80,000 people silent.
Green Bay.
Welcome to Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Second coldest game ever at Lambeau Field, -1 degree with a wind chill of -23.
You know, it's easier to play defense in the cold than it is necessarily to play offense.
Are you kidding me?
But let me ask you this. You know, Eli Manning comes to the team. They make the big trade to bring him in. Mm-hmm. Carey was a favorite. This was going to be the guy. And Eli had, he had his moments. He had games along the way in which you'd, nice. But the way he played that day in Green Bay, was that the best you've ever seen him play?
Yes.
I mean, he out-dueled Brett Favre like shutout.
Unbelievable. You know, I think back to that game, and I think back to Eli, and I said Eli and Plaxico Burress were the only two guys who played like they weren't cold. They looked like they were in the backyard slinging it around because you got Eli who's throwing perfect spirals in that weather, and you got Plaxico's catching with his hands, not his body. And it was the best I've ever seen Eli play, the most confident I've ever seen him be, going against the great legend in -23-degree weather. And it was like he was totally not affected by anything. And that's when I literally looked and said, the boy is now a man. He's a man. He's not Peyton Manning's little brother. He's Eli Manning. He's his own man right now.
That locker room, you're going back to another Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking at that moment?
For me to be going back for the second time, I'm thinking to myself, let's love it and enjoy the Super Bowl like you've enjoyed this whole year. Treat it the same way. But at least now you know what to expect, and hopefully you can relay that so that we can win it this time.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Michael Strahan. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Michael Strahan.
The New York Football Giants and the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42.
Going into the Super Bowl, I'm not thinking it could be it's my last game, but I definitely think this could be.
How do the Giants pull off one of the major upsets in Super Bowl history?
I wanted to win so bad.
Brady gets set, takes the snap, back to throw, lobs one right for Moss, touchdown! The Patriots have the lead with 2:42 to go.
And the only way we're going to win, we've got to score a touchdown.
17-14 is the final, okay? 17-14, fellas. One touchdown, we are world champions.
I wanted to relay to them what I really believe needed to happen. I need you guys to score a touchdown. We need to beat world champions.
Believe it, and it will happen. 17-14, the final. Let's go.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Under pressure. Boyd for Rush, and he's going to fight out of it. Still fights out of it. Now throws it deep downfield. Wide open Tyree, who makes the catch.
When he caught the ball, game's over. We knew we were going to win. I felt like our story was too great and our season was too great to end with a loss. And after he caught the ball, it was like the miracle continues. We're going to win this game, no doubt.
First is wide open. Touchdown, Giants! And that is it. The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots. And the Giants, with the most improbable win in recent memory, have won Super Bowl 42. How about Michael Strahan after all of these years?
Yes.
You have now won a Super Bowl. And now you've created, for a whole new generation of fans, a new set of memories and legends. But that ticker tape parade.
The parade, you can't explain it because they only saw the people in the street from the pictures. But when you look to the side street and it is a block or two deep on both sides, wow. Wow. You can't explain it. You realize the magnitude of how big this was when you saw that. And you're riding this bus and people on lampposts, they're on top of somebody's shoulder, they're up in the office building, they're, you know, through 2-3 blocks deep, and it's like, seems like people go on forever. And I'm on stage giving that speech, and these fools are going, what are you going to do? I was like, no, don't do this. So what are you going to do? And I'm like, what the heck? One last time. I mean, this could be the last time I stop anybody out.
You know what we did to you? We stopped you out.
What was it like, though, to be in Giants Stadium to kick off the next season?
Oh.
You're in that trophy to come out.
To be in that trophy at Giants Stadium was my rock star moment. That was another moment where I was like, God, I'm going to miss this. You play this game because so much pride involved, the physicality of it, the chess game of it, the mental toughness of it. All those things to push yourself past a point where you never thought you could go, that's what inspires you to play.
How important is it for you, especially in this era that you played in with free agency, one uniform only. You have worn one uniform, that's it.
Thank God I've worn one uniform, and thank God it's the Giants uniform. No better organization. I couldn't imagine putting on a uniform of another team. It would never look the same. It would never feel the same. And no matter what I accomplished, if I had to go somewhere and do it, just not as special as being someplace for 15 years and doing well there. My whole thing is, when I played here, I was going to make it very hard for them to let me go. I was going to play as hard as I could. I was going to be the best leader I could on and off the field. I was going to make you look and go, can't get rid of him. Once a Giant, always a Giant. I always have a home here.
Michael Strahan came to New York hoping to find a professional career. After 15 glorious seasons, he left as one of the most famous players in the history of a storied franchise. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us on Giants Chronicles.